flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On Twitter. All right, let's talk to Ross Tucker. I mean, he has been everywhere and right now is down in New Orleans getting ready for the big game. He's right there at Radio Row and he joins us right now. Ross, good morning, buddy.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. Fired up, excited, a little nervous, anxious, somewhat confident, but not overconfident, Ross. This is a big challenge. All right, Ross, a lot of ways to go before we go inside the game. Let's go inside where you are. Give us, you're there, we're not. I don't mean just the room you're in. I mean the town you're in. Give us some sights and sounds over the last 2-3 days, some things that have stood out to you. What do you know that we don't know? What do you know that our audience doesn't know?
Ooh, good questions. I guess I would start with saying at the media night, it definitely felt like there were more Eagles fans than Chiefs fans. Although there was the most were Saints fans because it was the Monday. Like, how many people come for Monday?
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's true.
If you're coming for the game on Sunday, I mean, I guess kudos to people that can come for the whole week. Good for you. But it did seem like there were more Eagles fans. I've seen more Eagles jerseys.
What's the percentage there, Ross?
I don't know, probably 70-30.
Good.
Something like that. Interestingly, you know, it's not that hot of a ticket right now.
I think that can benefit the Eagles, Ross. I think the frequency that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl could create a home field advantage for the Eagles on Sunday. I believe that.
Well, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, it's the fifth Super Bowl in 6 years for the Chiefs, so I don't know how many of their fans are coming. I don't know Eagles. I mean, you know, they were in it 2 years ago. So I would imagine there will be more Eagles fans, a decent amount more. I don't know if it rises to the level of being home field advantage, but it shouldn't be the other way. The other thing I liked about Media Night, it reminded me that it's an artificial surface indoors, and so that will not be an issue.
Yeah.
And I know it was the same for both teams 2 years ago, so when I point this out, I'm not saying it was a competitive disadvantage for the Eagles. I'm just saying it was totally BS that that happened in a Super Bowl.
Well, it was a competitive, on top of being a competitive, the Eagles pass rush, like it mitigated. It definitely was a competitive advantage the way the teams were built.
I agree with James. I agree entirely. The Eagles had a stronger pass rush, and it hurt the Eagles more.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, but I try to stay as objective as possible. You know what I mean? Like, both teams are on the same field, whatever. You know, it's funny. Most of the conversation is about the Chiefs. You know, because I'm here on Radio Row, so I go from station to station. And the two things they talk about a lot are the officiating, a lot. I mean, that gets brought up in almost every interview, which is a little bit annoying. And then there's a lot of talk about, you know, where this puts Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, you know, and how the Eagles can win a close game, which is really, I don't want to say there's a consensus, but I would say, and I put myself in this category, to be honest with you, I would say there's a healthy skepticism that if it's a one-score game late, that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, who are probably the two people in the Eagles organization that nationally people have the most skepticism about, right? Like they know how good the roster is and the O-line and Saquon, but they're still not sold, probably like you, Joe, they're not totally sold maybe on Sirianni and Hurts. And so compare and contrast, the one team has a quarterback and head coach that you're not totally sold on. The other team has a quarterback and head coach that are both going to be first ballot Hall of Famers and might be considered the best that have ever done it in their role when they're done. That's a lot for people to wrap their heads around in terms of the Eagles winning a close game. I mean, the belief is for the Eagles to win, they got to be up two scores in the fourth quarter, run away with it, kind of like the Buffalo Bills did in that regular season game against the Chiefs.
Yeah,
because so, we've all just seen it so often when it's a close game late.
So it sounds this is just this unspoken perception there, like in Super Bowl land.
I think you're saying spoken, not unspoken.
Spoken and unspoken. Yeah. That well, you look at the fact that the Chiefs are still favored by a point and a half in this game.
Yeah,
that has not budged, and we're sitting here in Philadelphia, Russ, thinking like, what gives here? We feel like we're the stronger roster, the stronger team, and everyone's giving the Chiefs just too much clout. Is there an argument to be made for that side of things?
I think the problem is, John, throughout history, even when one team has seemingly had the better roster, it does seem like the team with the better quarterback and the better coach pulls it out at the end. I mean, the Patriots didn't have a better roster a lot of those years with Brady and Belichick.
Right.
I mean, you go down the line. It's not always, but
no, it's definitely not always. Elway lost to Phil Simms. Elway lost to Doug Williams. Better team can be better quarterback.
Ago.
No, I know, but you are right. The reality is, the best quarterback normally wins the game. That is a fact. So
let me ask you guys this. Somebody said this to me yesterday, which I thought was so interesting. We all agree that the Eagles have the better roster, right? Top to bottom. We all agree.
I do agree with
yes.
that.
Okay. So, but somebody said to me, okay, yeah, I get that, Ross, but let's say you were starting a team and you could have the Chiefs roster or the Eagles roster. Which one would you pick?
Because of Mahomes?
And the reality is because of Mahomes.
Yeah.
I think I'd pick the Chiefs roster.
Yeah, he's worth like 15 players. I know what you're saying. If
yeah, because you can manipulate the other guy. You can build around the quarterback, but we can't make Hurts as good as Mahomes.
No, I think that's right. All right, this is fascinating. Let's get some calls here. Ross with us for an hour fielding phone calls. He's there, New Orleans. We're here, obviously. Wonderful to
New
be
Orleans.
With you. Say it again.
New Orleans.
You can say it either way. Ross, what is
no,
the...
No, you can't.
Yeah, sure. Well, you do. Ross, what is the
or
right way to say
do.
It? Well, a lot of people do. Ross, what's the right way to say it?
Well, if you're from down here, you say Nawlins, like N-A-W-L-I-N-S.
Yep.
If you have any culture in your body at all, you say New Orleans. If you are a Yankee weirdo adult, you say New Orleans.
And which one do I? And which one do
you
I say?
You say the Yankee weirdo adult
Yankee
one. You say New Orleans.
I am a Yankee. I am an adult, and I am a weirdo.
Yeah,
no problem.
So you just
New
want to
Orleans.
Be wrong.
Oh, I know, I'm bad. All right, let's go to the phones. John in Southampton. John, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. It's been a minute. How you doing?
I'll tell you, it has been. I don't know how long, but it's been some time.
I just wanted to let you guys know I woke up today pretty nervous for the first time. I want to bring up a couple of points why I'm nervous, and maybe you guys can put my mind at ease.
Okay.
Does anybody know if Juergens is starting this
week? Yes. It sounds like the offensive line is going to give it a go, and those guys will be back playing where they have played most of the season, at center and guard, Landon and Cam.
You know, I mean, I know Stafflin, he's a great coach and all, but I didn't like the idea of what they did last week when they put Dickerson on center because he wound up getting hurt over there.
Well, he did not have an especially good game. He struggled in the new capacity, and it's hard to tell whether that was because he was so far outside his comfort zone, whether he was banged up, and that was physically limiting him, but it wasn't good, and he ended up causing problems.
To be fair, though, John, we don't know that knee got further banged up because he played center. I mean, I don't think that's a fair correlation, but... look, it was out of whack last week. It should be back in whack.
It'll be much better.
Yeah.
And they got one game left. They know this is it. They don't have to budget any longer, and they're just going to let it all fly out.
And 2 weeks
there.
Off. 2 weeks off helps.
Yes.
I mean, that's
big time.
That's a big deal.
And another pretty good idea that I think that I came up with, and Ross, you could chime in on this one too, because I think that the Eagles, when they first get the ball on their first series, that they should at least go over the top one play just to back those corners off and get those safeties on their heels.
Well,
sure.
There will be shots throughout. You're going to – in that first 15, I remember with Andy Reid, we always would have a pass 67, which was a fake stretch where Donovan was, you know, getting that ball out there as Brian Westbrook is – his aiming point is the outside cheek of the tackle, inside cheek of the tight end. And then he's reversing out. It's play action, looking downfield.
But that's not what this team does much.
No.
They move more methodically.
Deep shots they when
do,
it's there.
But it's more of a methodical approach. It is.
And a lot of times it's, hey, if we bring those safeties down because our run game is so successful, if we get looks on the outside that are favorable, Jalen's going to signal something to AJ or to Devontae, and then we got a man matchup that we're going to take advantage
John,
of.
John, I got a lot to get to here, my man. Give me an answer. This can win you either the Hurts or Brandon Graham signed jerseys. Which song should the Eagles come out of the tunnel to?
Ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh,
oh,
ooh.
No. No way.
Dumb mentality.
No.
Come on.
No, that was the Mets song back around 01. Can't get down with that. Maybe that was 2000, something like that. All right.
They don't own the song, John.
No, but it is bad that I know that because that was when I was also.
Yeah, you're Benny Agbayani and your whole squad. Your Mets squad.
Jay Payton, Robin Ventura.
Is that when you
John
were talking
Olerud
about
wearing the helmet? First
a
base
fan because they were playing the Braves.
Well, I was unified with my friends who were anti-Braves, and I was anti-Braves, and the Mets and Phillies fans got together, and you guys just
forget. No. The Phillies fan, you.
Okay,
got
well,
together.
I went to college up that way, and that actually did happen. All right, so let's get to something that also happened. Nick Sirianni, Ross, I want to get your thoughts on this here because we just heard the last caller talking about offensive lineman playing through some injury. I thought this what Sirianni said yesterday, a real window into his mindset. And also into Mekhi Becton's mindset, which I really appreciate. Here's Sirianni yesterday.
I'm emotional, as you guys know. And so, at the end of games, and I think sometimes when I say I'm emotional, you kind of think of different things. But I can't tell you how many times after a game I'm overcome with emotion, with just everything. And I love when other players are like that, too. And so Mekhi and I have had some really awesome embraces after games. And I love about Mekhi that, there's been games where he's just been exhausted and his body just is tired and limping off the field after a score, but had that smile on his face and had that connection with his teammates of, man, I just gave everything up for you guys. I did, and I love that about him of just, man, he's giving it up for his teammates. He truly loves his teammates. His teammates love him. And he's been a great addition, obviously, to this team for this year.
You know, Ross, one of the things that has stood out to me, these guys do feel very together. I mean, the 17 Eagles felt that way. Last year did not. And it does feel like these guys play for each other and truly enjoy each other's company and lay it on the line, to say the least. And all of that, I'm not saying the Chiefs don't, Ross, I'm not as close to them. But all of that from an Eagles standpoint obviously speaks to something really good about this team.
No question. I get the same vibe, being around them and getting a chance to talk with a bunch of them, in particular Monday night, both, on camera and off camera. And the one thing I don't think he gets enough credit for, two things about Sirianni that really jump out to me. One is I do think the players, almost everyone I've ever talked to, they really like him. So no matter what the fans feel like, based on what we see from him, the players really like him. The other thing, and John can speak to this, I had 9 head coaches in my time in the NFL. What I like the most about Sirianni, he's authentic. Like, that is who he is. When he first got the job, I remember us being like, is this what this guy is really like? Yeah, this is what he's really like. Like, this is him, right or wrong. This is him. And I think in general in life, and certainly like with a coach, as long as a guy is genuine and authentic and you get the same guy every day, then you're going to usually embrace that guy. There's other guys that are frauds, or they say one thing to you and then they're different when the cameras are out. Like, Sirianni wears it on his sleeve. He's an emotional guy. I think the players understand that, but they like who he is and they appreciate that he's the same guy every day. I can assure you, not every head coach is like that. There's a lot of phonies out there.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. And I'll tell you this, Ross. I also think Sirianni and Saquon both deserve tremendous credit for the way they navigated that Saquon try to break the record or not break the record at the end of the regular season thing. Like, that was tricky. You know, that was a major, major, major record in America that unfortunately Saquon didn't get. Saquon wanted it. Various players on the team wanted it. Half the fans wanted it. We were doing polls. Should they play the players to play Saquon or not? And, you know, like, they moved right through that. And at the end of the day, or the beginning of the day, Sirianni was the one, sounds to me like, made the call. He's like, you know what? Love you. Like, think about that. Like, one of the things we get frustrated, John, with Joel is, when do they say no to Joel Embiid? Nick Sirianni looked Saquon Barkley in the face and said, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. Because we have a greater goal in mind, and they obviously are 60 minutes of football away from achieving that goal. I appreciate that.
I think Nick Nurse last night said no to Joel Embiid for playing more than 30 minutes. He said no one will play more than 30 minutes, and then Joel played 36.
Yeah, Joel played well last night, but isn't playing tonight for what it's worth. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Joe in Mayfair right now. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, morning crew, and I got a task to take with you, Joe, before I get into the game.
With me?
Yes, with you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Tin Man came out last night
and
had WD-40 and had a heart last night for a change. But you feeling sorry for this Hammond Egger, this guy who just...
You talking about Joel? Wait, are you talking about Joel?
Yes.
Well, the part I feel... Listen, Joe, I think you are cold-hearted if you don't feel somewhat sorry for him that his body's breaking down.
Zero, because he didn't take care of his body along the way.
Joe, this is why I feel sorry for Rhea in that studio today. Yeah. Joe, you go after Jalen, but I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm disgusted with Joel. I'm disgusted with him.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Would you rather have Joel Embiid go up against the Boston Celtics in game 6 or 7?
Yep.
Or would you rather have Jalen Hurts playing in the Super Bowl? Who do you trust more?
I trust Jalen Hurts more.
Then you just, you're the biggest hypocrite over the last 2-3 seasons.
Well, you're twisting it around
just,
a bit, but
no,
I,
I'm not.
Well, okay.
Joel Embiid wets the bed in the biggest game.
I know he does.
And you still feel sorry for this guy where Jalen Hurts just gives you everything every day. I don't get your mentality, Joe. I just don't.
Yeah, but I think you're overstating the sorrow I feel for Joel. I also have tremendous disgust for Joel. I don't want to hear the sorrow, Joe.
I don't want to hear
the
sorrow.
I know. You want it to be 100-0 ratio. That's not what I feel. I mean,
he caused it himself in all the angst with Sixers fans. He ruined this organization single-handedly in the last 5-10 years. Single-handedly.
Well, definitely not single-handedly because decisions were made by others that really also hurt. So it's definitely not single-handed.
Now, the big game on Sunday. Now, Ross, I love X's and O's with the game. And what I saw from the Eagles last week is they threw some wrinkles in with a little pitch to Devontae going one way, Barkley going the other. They did the same thing with Goddard. I think that sets up because I don't believe that the Eagles want the Chiefs going up the A-gap and getting the Hurts where he has to go to the outside real quick. When the Eagles run misdirection, Barkley one way, either Smith or Goddard the other, I think that prevents the Chiefs from going up the gut, which I think helps Jalen with the running lanes because I don't think we've seen him pull it and pass it when they do that. Will that help the Eagles where Spags can't blitz up the middle because he's got players going other directions, and while I help Jalen with more visibility in the middle of the field when he does hold it.
All right, Ross, what do you make of that?
I do like the fact that they've shown a little bit more horizontal backfield action. I can't sit here and say that means Spags won't blitz, but I like even when they fake the sweep to Saquon one way, and then Hurts comes with the lineman the other way, the two pulling linemen. Kellen Moore does some really nice stuff in that regard. I thought it was interesting, too, in the NFC Championship game, they used motion more, and the motion was actually to go ahead and take away the run defenders, the run support for the Commanders. So it's kind of a mixed bag because it looks like Kellen Moore is going to get the Saints job. So just as I'm praising Kellen Moore and he's doing some creative things that I think have helped them, it looks like the Eagles are going to be in the market for another guy. We'll worry about that after the Super Bowl. I will say this. I didn't realize this until Dan Orlovsky posted this morning. And it's not only it plays off the question, but for this listener, but the caller before about going deep. Do you realize Devontae Smith has played against the Chiefs 3 times? He has at least 6 catches in all 3 games against Spagnuolo and the Chiefs, at least 99 yards in all 3 games against Spagnuolo and the Chiefs, and he has at least 2 explosive, which is a catch of 20 yards or more.
Yeah, he's dominated.
So it's interesting. Devontae's kind of been a Chiefs killer. I don't know. Did you know that off the top of your head? I didn't like realize that.
Well, no, and he could have had even more if they'd freaking called that play right by the referees near the end of the first half of Super Bowl 57 when he caught the ball in bounds and they didn't give him the freaking 30 yards or whatever. I think with that play alone, they might have won the Super Bowl. Joe, give me an answer, but he has been good, Ross. It's good to point out. Joe, give me an answer. What song should the Eagles come out of the tunnel to?
Well, it's you got one shot, and this is it. And it's gotta be
we all know where that one's going.
That's a really good answer.
Great
right
answer.
There. Yeah,
hey,
that's big time.
Now, one quick question about it, though. Does the Detroit Lions M&M part of it factor in at all? Just asking. Just asking.
Well, here's the other problem. Does having lost in the Super Bowl 2 years ago factor into it? Because it's now two shots.
Oh, that's another good point.
Sort of.
I'm asking for a friend. John, go
ahead.
Hey,
Ross. So when we're talking about schemes and everything else, I want to know if we can rise above scheme as it pertains to Patrick Mahomes. Our defense needs to make him uncomfortable. And I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. Like, Patrick Mahomes, is he able to be made uncomfortable at this point?
I think there have been some games this year, certainly, where he has not looked comfortable and that people have been able to get pressure on him. I was talking with Moro Ajuma as well as Nolan Smith Monday night, and I said, what's the key? What's the key when you go against Mahomes? They made some interesting points. Number one, I think Nolan Smith said, don't leave your feet. Right, because Mahomes is so good at those pump fakes, and it's like a natural human reaction to leave your feet. But then Ajuma said something that I thought was really interesting. He said, wait as long as possible before you throw to try to tackle him. What they've noticed on tape is that guys dive for Mahomes too early, and he just kind of steps out of it because they dive too early. So I like the fact that it seems like they have a pretty good plan.
Does that mean does that mean he's quicker than perceived? I mean, I'm just trying to understand
he's
that.
A little nifty, yeah, where he can sidestep you at the last second.
I don't know. I got to pull it up. He either ran a 4.8 or a 4.9 at the combine. I have never seen a guy run a 4.8 or 4.9 be as fast as he needs to be on every third down.
Like 4.8.
He's the fastest 4.8 I think I've ever seen, because whenever the situation arises, he gets the yards he needs to get. The other thing I think I want to make this point for, I could do a camera the whole game on the right guard for the Chiefs, Trey Smith, who's like my favorite offensive lineman in the league. He's gonna break Landon's contract record. He'll be the highest paid guard in NFL history in a month from now. The right guard for the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to slide their line left a lot to protect Tooney, the left tackle, who's really a guard, and Caliendo. That means a lot of one-on-ones between Trey Smith, the Chiefs' right guard, and Jalen Carter.
That's awesome.
Not only are they both awesome players, they are both junkyard dogs. Like, they will both punch each other in the face. And just like, I could literally just have a camera watching that matchup the whole game. And the reality is, Jalen Carter has to win. You know, in a one-on-one matchup, I know Trey Smith's a good player. If Jalen singled up, he has to win that matchup. Even talking with Trey Smith Monday night, he kind of acknowledged It's going to be those guys one-on-one a lot. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say the winner of those one-on-one battles, that's a major edge to see who wins the game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Ross, because it's going to influence Mahomes and Hurts so dramatically. You know, well, I'm flipping the wrong way here. I was thinking about Chris Jones on the
Mahomes,
other side. But,
yeah.
But, yes, the influence inside is going to influence the quarterback and influence plays based on how those defensive tackles do or do not shine.
And that's how Mahomes lost his Super Bowl that he lost.
Big part of it.
And how good is Joe Tooney as a tackle, Ross?
You know, it doesn't look good, John, but he's getting the job done. You
really?
Can tell he's a guard by trade.
Not graceful, but effective.
That's exactly right. That said, I mean, with Josh Sweat and Nolan Smith and these guys, I mean, that's another matchup that the Eagles have to win. The reality is, we talked earlier about Andy Reid and Mahomes and all that. These other matchups where the Eagles could have an edge, they have to win those matchups. And I would argue they have to win those matchups handily.
Wow.
Right? Like they have to win those matchups over and over again. And I certainly think that they're capable, but it needs to happen. Nolan Smith, Josh Sweat, I don't think either tackle for the Chiefs is that great. I think all these guys, it's got to be a dominant D-line game. And by the way, just one thing I'm thinking about here, you know, everything everybody's saying about Mahomes, Andy Reid versus Sirianni and Hurts, including me, by the way, I got to be honest with you guys, I said the exact same thing about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick against Nick Foles and Doug Peterson.
Of course.
So it can happen. It has happened. We've seen it happen. So it can absolutely happen in a one-game scenario.